No, I'm not taken by surprise, because this is accumulation of some frustration within the membership of the SPLM, SPLA-IO, mm-hmm. and also within the leadership of SPLM, SPLA-IO. They came as a strong group after the signing of the revitalized peace agreement. But when they arrived in Juba, I think they went into some politicking, mm-hmm. And this has started also to become negative on their unity. Some being accused of having been bought by the incumbent Tigono here, and they are no longer adhering to the vision and mission of the SPLM-IO, mm-hmm. Which is reform and change and adoption of federal system of government. This is what they have stood for when they were struggling. And mm-hmm. and these things are being abandoned, including the unification of the forces, so that we have a national army with a national character, well-trained in accordance with international standards and military convention. This has not happened also. So it has also created its own frustration. So it became two groups, the group which are in Juba and the group that have remained outside Juba. Most who remain outside Juba mm-hmm. Were the strong generals on the ground. The top of these is Garwig Dwal, mm-hmm. who is the chief of general staff of the SPLM-IO. He had reservation to come to Juba. Mm-hmm. The other one is General Lin, mm-hmm. Who is the most heavily armed SPLM-IO commander on the ground. Mm-hmm. Some of the arms he took away from the government side when he defected, and he is the most heavily armed, and he also had reservation to come to Juba. Later he was appointed as, he was nominated rather, mm-hmm. as the governor of Upper Nile, mm-hmm. but also he refused to come to Juba, and he said unless he's appointed first, he won't come here. And it seemed President had also reservation to appoint him because he was afraid of the protest letters that have been written by the Apadang, mm-hmm. Apadang community. So that became also another issue. And later his name was dropped and replaced with Ubudoga Yang, who is the current governor now. So that created another problem. Mm-hmm. And you had Garwig Dwal writing to Dictoria to go and attend to his forces on the ground so that he can brief them on the progress in the implementation of the peace agreement, particularly the security arrangement. And it seemed Dictoria did not respond to that call, and even they copy the IGAD that they should allow him to go. If he is being prevented in Juba, IGAD should come in and tell those who are preventing him that he can travel and attend to his forces. But that didn't materialize, and I think all those calls were ignored, mm-hmm. until maybe last week. But then before last 2 weeks, we had also the appointment into political position, mm-hmm. in accordance with the shares that belong to the SPLM-IO, the 28% that they have, mm-hmm. in the cabinet. And it seemed also the appointment did not go well with some of the members, because some of them might have thought they will be the one to be appointed to certain ministerial portfolios, mm-hmm. but they didn't get it, so they became disappointed also, mm-hmm. and that caused some defection that we have known before, including the deputy, mm-hmm. Chief of staff, who we call CDR, he already defected to, mm-hmm. to the government side, and he was welcome in the government side. And now that defection occurs, and they were usually welcome to the government side.
Yes.
And what is so unique about the Kitgwang Declaration, mm-hmm. is that they only say they have hosted Dr. Riek Machar, but they did not decide after that where are they going. Mm-hmm. Will they join the government, or they will be standing alone and whatever? But what seemed to be the trend now, they want to be a stand-alone, mm-hmm. Force claiming to have taken the leadership of the SPLM-IO. So that's where we stand now.
Yes.
And they have forces. So usually when you have a split like this, and you have forces, you expect clashes. It's not a non-violent split at all. So that's why There was clash last week, and Sudan came very quickly to contain it. But later, I think yesterday and today also, there were some clashes here and there. And these are not good news to the implementation of the revitalized agreement.
Yes,
despite the IGAD intervention now and saying they are quelling the situation and they are trying to mediate and make the parties to talk. Even we heard that maybe they open a line of communication between Dictoriac and Oloigny and all this. But it seems things are not calm totally yet. That's the situation we are up to today, up to the time we are talking now.
And how big is this? Is a problem to first Dr. Riek Machar and his team here in Juba and to the general implementation of the peace agreement?
Yeah, it's not good news, because they are weakening themselves by splitting or by defection, and in the long run they will become a weak partner in the implementation of the revitalized agreement. And they are called a principal party because the incumbent is going to take the bigger share, and they are the powerful because they have the government advantage on their side, and they have the resources and everything, and they have been in the government. So they are the strongest partners, followed by the SPLM-IO, because they had a lot of forces on the ground that can threaten peace in South Sudan, and that made them also to be the second strongest partner. And that's why they are called the principal parties to the revitalized peace agreement. Now, the IO is losing that principality because they are defecting, and they are also splitting. So it makes them a weak partner, and a weak partner is never a good news to the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement. It means the incumbent Tigona now will have the leeway to do whatever they want, and pick whatever they want, and leave whatever they don't want in the revitalized peace agreement, and that will lead to non-smooth implementation of the revitalized peace agreement. And we are already late in the implementation. And the frustration are growing. That's what we are seeing now everywhere.
We'll talk about all those frustrations in a while. But how about this accusation that most of these people are bored? Most of these people, the government, which is in government, is the one having a hand in all this confusion within the SPLM-IOs. Others are even saying Dr. Machar is here in Juba, but he really doesn't have the freedom to visit his forces on the ground. SPLM-IO has come out that they have been threatened here, the security people, sometimes they have been followed, and all those arrests and all that. How big is the government hand in all this confusion when it comes to the implementation of the peace agreement?
Yeah, the SPLM-IO, and particularly Dictoriac and his group who came to Juba, they made a blunder in the beginning, because the agreement was very clear that the government will be formed after the necessary forces have been cantoned, trained, and unified, and then deployed into the strategic cities, including Juba here, so that they can safeguard the implementation of the agreement. I think Dictoriac and the group who came to Juba ignored that, and they rushed to the formation of the government, and they secured their position, and they thought now everything is okay because they are sitting in government offices and they have the privileges of the government. They had the V8s, they had the hotels, and they thought, you know, khalas, they have achieved what they wanted. But then the root causes of the problem have remained, and that blunder in the beginning is what is haunting them now. Had they stick to that clause of the agreement, which required the unification of the forces before the formation of the government, we wouldn't have Garwij Dwal or Oloigny running alone. It would have been a one force under one command, who is the president of the republic. So we wouldn't have been in this situation that we are now. So that was a mistake from the IO, and they are reaping the result of that mistake as we speak. And the government is happy because the revitalized peace agreement was also pushed on the throat of the government. They didn't want it totally. There are areas that they were uncomfortable with, but this stock is usually compromised, and they managed to give in here and there. But now they are realizing that the opening is becoming weaker, then it's fine, and they have contributed to making this opening weaker, because we have been observing and following what's happening in those hotels here. You know, money has been changing hands, of course. That is not secret. And even to the places where you have also commanders on the ground, we saw also money changing hands. So there's nothing secret about some of these guys being bought or promised some position. These things are there. And
then that brings us to the question of the political will. Do these parties really have the political will to stabilize the country?
They don't have. And that has been in the report of the RGMEC. That has been also in the report of the UN panel of experts, that the parties really lack the political will to implement the agreement. And because if they had the political will, a lot of provision of the agreement would have been implemented by now. But they decided to drag their feet to where we are, and almost we are getting to the end of the transitional period, actually the 3 years that were agreed, and yet nothing significant has been really implemented apart from these political positions, and then also apart from saying that we are committed. But commitment must be followed by action. We are not seeing those action really, and except being selective here and there and doing this and backstabbing each other. Because in implementing a peace agreement, you have to be partners, cooperate. But if you start backbiting each other, backstabbing each other, it means you don't have the will to move ahead as a collective team, implementing the agreement as mandated. And then that's where we are now. I think the parties have really failed to show that they have a political will to move this process forward. Although they declare from time to time that they have and they are committed to this agreement, but the actions are telling the opposite story altogether.
Yes, and that comes now to the frustration of the citizens in the country. We've seen a few groups coming out, the People's Coalition. We have seen now, recently, just yesterday, there was a letter by the Red Army Foundation. All that, you know, this frustration is, where are we seeing all this going? Because citizens eventually are going to get tired, and they want the peace to be in the country. They want peace in the country. They want to do their thing. They want security to improve, but all these are not being seen. What's your thought on these frustrations that is arising up these days?
Yeah, frustration are usually dangerous, because they will lead to the loss of logic and rationality sooner. People will become emotional. And when they become emotional, they don't think ahead anymore. They will just close their eyes and just do whatever they think they can do to deal away with the frustration they have. So this is not a good news totally, those type of frustration. So that's why there should be a swift move to start addressing some of the causes of those frustration. One of the causes of this frustration actually is the economic situation in the country. And every time people think that, you know, the situation will improve, the oil prices have gone up. It was not like the other time when they were totally down. And now the non-revenue have been collected. But yet, you know, people are not seeing the peace dividend. It's still some few corrupt, connected tycoons are running away with big chunk of money of the government. And this is denying the citizen to enjoy what they should have been enjoying, including the those who are in the harm sector of the government, the SSPDF, the police, and the national security itself, all the civil servants, you know, people are not happy with what's happening, because their expectations are not being met. And they thought that this peace agreement will really address some of those problems, including unemployment. You see also youth also running to the NGOs and fighting over the NGOs, giving warning to the NGOs if they are not employed, they will cross havoc and here. This is also part of the frustration, because the government sector or the public sector is failing actually to employ youth and give them meaningful salaries and remuneration. And this is making them to shift to the NGOs and civil society sector. And that is not also a good news for the country, because the government take the upper part of maintaining law and order in the country. If you lose the power of the government, then maintaining law and order become a problem. And when people are frustrated and they get into unlawful activities, then that become a threat to the existence of the government itself. So this is the situation where we are now. If this Artigono is not very careful, this frustration is growing every day. And those voices, when they come out like that, they shouldn't be ignored. Something must be done. And then a dialogue must be initiated with those who are frustrated and try to address also some of their concern. Don't ignore it totally. And if you think that you can use military force to quell down those voices or to deter them from expressing themselves, that will even complicate the problem more.
And that is
because,
what, and
because
that is
this
what,
is
yes.
this is the fear, and it happened in some countries. When
and that is what I wanted to actually ask about, like the frustration that we saw from the People's Coalition that came out and spoke. Some of them were arrested up to now. Some are on the run. They're in hiding up to now. So with the mentality of using the security agents to try to arrest or detain or harass these people to silence, is that a way of handling this?
No, it's not a good way of handling, because we have comparative situation where the same method was applied and it gave a negative result on the government. So it's better to open a line of communication with those dissenting, those having dissenting voices, mm-hmm. and open a dialogue with them, and also try to acknowledge some of what they are saying, that really. Yes, we didn't do much in what you are saying, but now let's try together, you included and whatever, let's try together to address this problem, so that nobody call for elimination of the other. Because if they are calling for the elimination of the government, that is what we call regime change. Mm-hmm. Of course, those who are enjoying the privileges of the government, they will not be happy, because that is a loss of that privilege if they get eliminated or if their regime get changed. Mm-hmm. So they will always be protective of their position and whatever. They do whatever they can to remain there in the position they are holding. But then if it is a matter of transition and reform, and that's what the agreement is saying, that let's have a transition with a reform agenda. And that is a gradual move. It's not revolutionary. It makes some people relax a bit who are in the government. And now new ideas can be received and then things can move forward. So actually being radical in both sides will complicate the problem. And what happened? It might be the government who is the loser at the end of the day, because if the majority of the population get frustrated, it means the government is done. That's the fact of comparative situation that we have known. It is only if they are few. For example, now these People Coalition for Civil Action, they are starting like few people. Four of them signed the declaration, but now I think their number is also growing a bit. Some are declaring their allegiance to them, and some are coming up with other ideas of making a grand coalition rather than few one. And then you have the Red Army also coming up, trying to challenge also the SPLM and the government, saying that, the young people are being neglected, and then they were promised by Dr. Garang a long time ago that they are the seed of the nation, and when the objective of the movement are achieved, they will be the one to take over the leadership. But then the whole guys are not letting go the leadership. So this is also frustrating them, and the promises that has been given to them is not forthcoming. So this one, if it build up like this, then they create a common enemy. If they make the government as their common enemy, then that's become a very dangerous situation. So that's the situation we are in. It needs really wisdom, and people need to move, because we don't want another blunders in this country. We have had enough, actually, of what has happened. We need development more than divisions.
Great. Now, before we take some phone calls, moving forward in all this frustration and all this thing that we just talked about, what should be the game changer here moving forward?
The game changer is get back to the basic of the agreement. This revitalized agreement is a roadmap. It is not about power sharing only. It has more than that. For example, you have Chapter 2 on humanitarian assistance to the people who are suffering. Those who want to return to their home, they must also be helped with construction material, with also safeguarding the corridors they are moving so that they resettle in their original. If that is done to the people, then it will lower the frustration that they have. And then that's chapter 3 of the agreement. And you have a whole chapter 4, which is supposed to empower women with micro enterprises, empower the youth also, do the reform in all government sector so that, you know, no few people or no, you know, no smart people, as they call themselves, play around with the resources of the government in the Ministry of Finance and in the Bank of South Sudan, because this institution, there's a lot of play with the public money there, including the National Revenue Authority. Those institutions, they need to be checked properly. And this is what the reform is supposed to be be in, and people now will see that more money is coming into the government coffers, and this more money will reflect into salaries paid in time, even increase, because what they get now, even if it is paid in time, it will never cater for their need compared to what's happening in the market. So this agreement as a whole map has a lot of benefit. That's what we call peace dividends. But nobody is touching this peace dividend. Everybody is busy with appointment here and there, and then we congratulate each other. And then what next after that? We need to get back to the real business of the agreement and do this. This is what the parties are ignoring. And if they continue ignoring this, it means the agreement very soon will become a meaningless document because it's not addressing the problem of the citizens.
Yes, and country. Are you seeing that happening?
Of course, with the build-up of the frustration, if the Artigono does not move very quickly with a collective leadership to address some of this problem, of course, nobody will exempt any of them soon. If you are within this Artigono, even if you say, I am FD, I am IO, it doesn't matter to the citizen anymore. They want a government that will serve the people with service delivery, basic service delivery. That's what they want. And that's what is catered in Chapter 3 of the agreement. That's what's chapter in Chapter 4. And that will lead to constitutional making process, which is being also blocked and ignored, because the discussion on constitution, apart from the workshop that was conducted by Mark Flang, people are stuck there. Nobody is talking about it anymore. So it means we are not progressing with the constitutional discussion. Right. And nothing is happening. If people realize that they are not getting to have their constitution, which will be the constitution of the people, I think it will add also to their frustration, and they will think that this party just want to stay in power and renew the transitional period without getting to election, so that people who are mandated by the public will can be the one running the government. That's what we want at the end of the transitional period. But the parties are ignoring that, and the agreement has provided for that. And if we go beyond 3 years with this agreement will start to get diluted, and it become meaningless one, and later it will get thrown away. If it get thrown away, the legitimacy of this government will get questioned immediately, and more chaos can come to the country.
All right.
And that's what we fear. We don't like that.
All right. If you just join us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show with me, Sebit William. My guest is James Okug, who is James Okug right here, is the senior research fellow at South Sudan Center for Strategic and Policy Studies. Call us and talk to us this morning here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Hello, good morning.
Yes, Sebit William.
Yes, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I greet you and I greet the guys in the studio. Thank you very much for talking to the discussion. It's me, Jacob Delale from Gudele.
Jacob from Gudele. Jacob, welcome with your comment or question, please.
Yes, I have one question. If we see our country like that, without the law, that guy, the people, if you do something, then the law would have you. Why are you doing this? If like that, our country grow well? If there is no law, have the people, if the government let's continue doing their own thing without the law, the citizens do their own thing without the law, as we know, this time around, there is no law, because our country is looted by some individuals, but there is no question of them. There is no law that has them. Why are you doing this?
All right.
If the country go well, That's my question.
All right. Thank you for talking to us, Jacob. Let's take another caller, and we can give a chance to our guest here to answer the two questions. Good morning.
Good morning, Sabir William.
Yes, welcome.
I'm glad that I've also, I'm part of this. If I may ask the guest in the studio, Sabir William.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have not recognized this is Angelina.
Yes, Angelina. Okay.
Yeah. Why is all this mess from IO, resignation, people have that mistrust among each other? And this all mess, David William, I want to ask the guests in the studio, are they not going to take us back into something else? We don't need any war. That may happen, because the process I'm seeing, it's like giving an alarm that something may happen. Second to it, why is Dr. Riek Machar and Woling plus the other allies, because they were in one group, what brought the mistrust among them? And they were like doing one thing. So in case he's asked to visit them, he should go. And then those who are also asking vice presidents to come to them, what is wrong with them visiting him in Juba? Because Juba is a free place, everyone can come. And if there is something that need to be negotiated, need to be discussed, they can sit down there and settle it. But now they are just trying to make things difficult to be understood.
All right.
So that's my two questions.
Thank you, Angelina, for talking to us. We do appreciate your time. Let's give a chance to our guests to answer those two questions. First, Jacob from Gudele is saying we are running a country where probably there are laws, but they're not being respected. The rule of law is really breaking down, and accountability. Leaders are not being held accountable for whatsoever actions they might be taking.
He's totally right, Sabit William, because the country without respect to the law is a country of anarchy. And an anarchy will usually lead to chaos and a lot of conflict that will be difficult to resolve. And the supreme law, as we speak now, is the revitalized peace agreement, because it overrides every aspect
laws
of it. So if you are not respecting this supreme law called the revitalized peace agreement, it means you are preparing the country for chaos. So that's correct from Jacob. He's reading this very correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an adage, or an adage that say that be legal, be safe.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be stable in your country, please respect the law.
Mm-hmm.
And if you respect the law, you are on the side of the law, safety will come. The law will put order, and then things will move in a better manner. When people have conflict, the law will also resolve their conflict through the courts and all this. So this is how civilized countries have moved themselves forward. This is what we don't want to learn. People are acting outside the law, including playing with the public resources. The money are being channeled without budget. Now Parliament passed a budget and everybody is just approved this, approved that and all this without any legal basis. And this is causing chaos in the economic sector, because law is not regulating them. So there are a lot of problems happening here and there, and people are being arrested without really following due process. This is also against the law and all this. So these things are really putting a country into a very tight corner, and we will get into a jungle situation, which is not a good situation.
Talking about that, to what extent is the supreme law that you did mention, which is the revitalized peace agreement, to what extent do you think it's not being respected and is being violated? You know, recently we saw even the SPLA-IO complaining about an administrator in one of the administrative areas just going ahead to form his government without whatsoever consultation, which he was not mentioned whatsoever in the peace agreement.
Yeah, that's a violation. And once you violate the supreme law, alas, you are putting a disorder into the country. So supreme law must be respected with utmost care. That's it. And the frustration that is growing as we speak now is also a result of violation of the revitalized agreement. And if implementation has taken place as required, I think those frustrations would have not come up as we speak. But then this is a disrespect to the law. So that's why we are demanding, even as we speak now, that these parties should go back to the basic. Respect the agreement that you have signed. It is the contract that you have committed yourself that this is what you will do. If you go against that contract, we will go to the what we call the Hobbesian, the Hobbesian situation. You know, a philosopher called Thomas Hobbes, he said, if there is no law, then the security will not be there, and it will be a jungle where everybody fight the other, and then the strongest carry the day, and at the other day is not the stronger. So it's a chaotic situation, which is not good for a country. So law is what will really contain that situation and make people to coexist. And if they differ, because human beings by nature they differ, the law also provide for how this conflict can be resolved in an amicable and peaceful manner. This is how it should move, but we are not doing that. Right. And that's why the country might get into some trouble.
Angelina is finding out why the mess in the IO won't this take us back, and talked about the mistrust between the leaders in the IO.
Because the IO lost their vision and the mission why they went and fought the government and ended up on the peace talk table and signing an agreement. They forgot that once they came to Juba, and also once they remain in the bushes, because there are two sides of IO, the IO in Juba and the IO outside Juba. And each one is demanding that the other one should come to their territory that day so that they talk. It's not a good, it should be one IO. They go down, it is IO. They come to Juba, it is IO. But for example now, you tell Garwij Dwal to come to Juba, even when he's appointed as advisor of the president, he's refusing to come because he doesn't trust Diktoriak in Juba. And he tells Diktoriak to go to the area that he's controlling. Diktoriak doesn't trust him in that area. So already that mistrust is not good news to the implementation of the peace agreement. And that's where we are now. And IGAD is saying that they are moving to see how they can resolve that mistrust that is messing up the SPLM-IO. But we don't know with the IGAD that we know. I doubt whether they will even come up with a solution to this problem.
All right. Let's take another caller. Thank you. If you just join us, you're listening to Miraya Breakfast Show. Call us and share your thought with us or question. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Actually, William. Good morning.
Good morning. Your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm calling from Malakal.
Your name once again?
Lual Garang.
Yes, Lual Garang.
From Malakal.
Yes, Lual from Malakal. Welcome.
Yeah, I would like to acknowledge the presence of political analysts in the studio with you.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the current political wrangle within SPLM-IO and the current political crisis in the Republic of South Sudan is a clear indication that politicians and leaders of this country are not willing to lead this country in a proper way. They are only willing for position and resources. So my question is, when will my question to the political analyst?
Mm-hmm.
When will this leadership wrangling? When will this rebellion end in South Sudan? And what need to be done to end this rebellion? Because people are really tired. People should not wrangle on the dead thing like resources, while people at the grassroots are suffering. So people, my own conclusion is that people are tired of this leadership in the country. The way they are leading the country is totally wrong. So my question is really, when will this suffering end in South Sudan? And what needs to be done
All right. To
end the suffering?
Thank you. Thank you for talking to us. Let's take one more call as well. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. FM.
Yes, your name?
Alex from Juba here, something.
Yes, Alex in Tongping, Juba. Welcome, Alex.
Yeah, I have a question to our analyst.
Mm-hmm.
My first question is, Okay, like the disagreement between Machar and then his forces under the ground. What is the way forward as his analyst? What is should be done to solve that kind of situation where we are going through now? Mm-hmm. Two is, what is the reason why the unified force is not graduated? What is the reason? And that is the two questions. And there is like something I want to tell him again is like, I'm very happy actually about the way the analyst explained something about our country as a citizen. For me, what I need him to do is, if he have a way, like I'm requesting him, mm-hmm. if he have a way to meet those politicians, if he have a way, let him tell them to stop playing with a country like this, like something individual business.
All
right. This is not a business. It is a country where our grandchildren are coming to grow in.
All right.
Because even me, myself, today, I'm not actually very happy, whether with the IO or with the government, because all of them, what I see is they're playing all is a game just to use the resources for their own benefit, for their children. And then we as a common citizen, we are suffering.
All right.
Can he help us in that situation? And I need him to answer for me that question, especially
right.
about the unified forces.
Okay.
What are they doing with that process now?
All right. We have limited time now. Thank you so much. And James Okung, just briefly, in most of these questions, Lual Garang from Malakal wanted to know, when will this rebellion end? What needs to be done? And he's saying, of course, that the citizens of this country are tired of this leadership.
Yeah, he's right, because this is frustration, because too much rebellion in the country also creates its own frustration. And too much also, lack of service delivery from the government side also create frustration. So frustration is on both sides, like what Lwala has. On the side of the rebellion, people are not happy because this has been happening
mm-hmm.
and it is not bringing solution. So people are asking, what is the use of rebellion that will not solve our problem? This is happening at the grassroots already.
Mm-hmm.
The same with the government. What is the use of a government that does not
provide
the service delivery? So both ways, I think the politician need to know that the citizen are becoming unhappy with both sides. So they have an opportunity in their hand. That is the revitalized peace agreement. Although they have delayed it, if they can recommit and try to develop a real political will to implement it in letter and in spirit, I think people can get back and say, okay, let's give them a chance to deliver.
All right.
The same thing with those who are rebelling. If they can respect the agreement and say, okay, let's join this agreement and move on as one people, develop our country, I think hope can be restored. And once people restore hope, I think patience come back.
All right.
Because what lose patience is when you don't have hope for the future and
great.
All this.
Now, Alex, very first talked about, you know, the politicians using our resources as their own, and he would really like to know what is the way forward, the reason for unified forces not graduating up to now, and in less than a minute, please, if you can.
Yeah, this is what we call corruption. It has been very common in South Sudan because nobody is accounted for the public resources. Now, the agreement I say that you strengthen the institution that bring people to account. One of these institutions is the audit chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Audit chamber should also look at the way the money of the government has been spent. Nothing is happening so far. The same thing with the anti-corruption commission. They should also try to check on how these people who have been given political position have been using resources. These things are not respected, and it means we are not respecting the law. So playing around with government money and some few individual running away with it, it will never last. It will create a problem one day, because you cannot be extremely rich
mm-hmm.
when others are extremely poor. It will create a problem. So that is what I think those politicians need to know, and they need to be told. And like meeting those politicians and talking with them, actually we have talked much, David William.
Yeah.
All along we talk here and there. We meet some of them, we tell them, but I think they decided to ignore the advices that people want. And if you continue ignoring advice, when people sit back and they are not talking anymore, Mm-hmm. What remains is emotional action. Those emotional action, they will never give a good result. And at the end, citizens will never lose. Mm-hmm. That is what these politicians will know. Even if you prolong their suffering, citizens will never lose. One day, it is the politician and the government who will lose. Citizens will reclaim their power back. So right. This message must get very clear to the head of those politicians. It has happened in many countries. The latest is Afghanistan, that we saw yesterday.
When the Taliban...
Yes, Taliban, right. You know. The citizens were not happy with the government that has run away for a long time. They have been talking, but they were not showing real action. Mm-hmm. It's not very far. It's still human being.
All right.
South Sudanese are not happy. I think their grievances need to be addressed. Otherwise, on the long run, it's not good for the government, and we don't want chaos in this country.
Right.
So let's sit down.
Yes.
Let's try to address those problems.
That's the time we have. Thank you very much for coming to Mirai Studios. We really do appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Save it, really.